Hey, this is Mark Tremonti from Tremonti, and I give you the right to rock.
The right to rock.
This motherfucker. So, okay, that's the cue to move on.
I fucking came.
Yeah, I figured as much,
dude. God. With your left hand, can you hit the unpause button?
I know your free hand.
Sticky right now.
Okay, let's just move on. When are we gonna get our own remote and not
on,
trust
bud.
This dickhead to do it?
Yeah, no shit. Oh, there we go.
Dude, that's not Thank too loud
John.
Or anything.
What we got over here?
We have a little Judas Priest action, it looks like.
You may want playing to turn that down, John.
Playing it Vakken? Vakken?
Fucking had it in stereo.
This guy.
Dude, we're trying to do a show here.
Hey, I'm not fucking perfect, okay?
Oh, we well, know.
We knew that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You weren't fooling anybody.
I'm pristine.
I don't know what the fuck that means.
I don't know. What do you... I'm not even going to go there.
No, it's best not.
No. So what we got over here, Pius? We got a little priest.
Yeah, we get a little bit of the old priest. It looks like they're at Vakken.
Vakken.
But this is with homeboy, right? Playing.
Yeah, Richie Scarlett. I got to tell you, I've seen a little bit of this. And Scarlett, pretty much for me, steals the show.
Yeah, he's good, isn't he?
Oh yeah, I mean they do a whole thing, and no offense to the guys.
No, no, not at all. No, of course not. But they're older, fucking priests. They don't need defending.
They're pushing their mid-60s. Scarlett's probably in his 40s.
Oh, is he really?
I don't know. He looks younger.
Yeah, he's fairly young.
He's like...
You're not. Here he goes.
They robbed the cradle, Holmes.
Oh, no, Holmes. A little bit.
Here's the cradle of love.
Rock the cradle. Oh,
so this is the Battle Cry DVD. Brand new priest from Vakken. I guess it was the tour that I think they're still on for Redeemer of Souls.
Oh, yeah?
But we get a little taste via this DVD here. What do you think over there?
It's pretty good.
Rob sounds good?
Yeah. I know he hasn't always. I know now it's getting to that age where he doesn't always sound as good as he used to. I mean, when did we see him with Queensryche and Motorhead? Or was that what it was?
Motorhead.
When we were at the Maiden. Woodlands, we were on the...
Maiden.
Is that who it was?
The Maiden.
It was like two or three opening acts, right? And they were big ones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When I remember. I mean, he screaming his ass off. But well, that was like years ago. Thing.
Resurrection.
Yeah.
When he came out... When he discovered metal again after the two projects.
There you go. And how long ago was that? That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's at least
15
years
ago.
How long has he been back in Priest?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Is that Faulkner right now?
But this is a good video. I not to knock it a little bit. Towards the end of the show, and like Beyond the Realms of Death and some Painkiller... Unfortunately, Rob seems to have a few issues vocally. The band sound great.
They do.
Glenn's doing good, but he's not moving around like he used to either.
No.
But, I mean, when you're 60-something years old, are you really going to be moving around that much? Unless you're Angus Young.
Don't.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. That dude is crazy. When we saw him...
Oh, dude. Fucking crazy.
It was
crazy.
Unreal. I think it's a similar deal to Ozzy. In that you get these old rockers, because I was trying to explain it to old girl. She was like, because I said, dude, he was all over the place. And she looked at me kind of like, oh, so he's on the cocaine probably, right? And I'm like, no. It's not a drug thing. I think they did their drugs whenever they did them back in the day. They're not on them now because it would kill them. No, I said, when you see that, I think it's the same thing with Ozzy. And that is they kind of like when the music hits, it's like a switch goes on and they're like,
that's
right. They're like, they're in the mode, right? They're like back in the groove. And it's almost like a muscle memory, right? Like a like the way a gymnast still remembers an old routine. It's like they just know what to do, man.
I got that with my penis.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
But Faulkner, I mean, he's he's been with him since 2011 and he was born in 1980.
Oh, yeah. He's young.
So he's,
man.
Yeah. So he's.
What's he? Hold on. Give him.
I know. Doo-doo-doo-doo.
John, do you got the calculator?
Get the chisholm bob out.
That is 53.
He's 36.
Dude,
80.
36,
dude.
36. Not by my math.
We'll go with our math, though. Thanks. Yeah, we're going to pass on that.
Yeah, no shit.
But, so he's relatively young for these guys because good old homeboy Glenn Tipton, he's, let's see, how old is he? He's, the ripe old age of 68.
Who's that?
Glenn Tipton.
Whoa. Yeah.
And then Rob's got to be pretty similar, right?
Oh, it's Bobby. He likes to be called Bobby now.
Bobby. Hello, Bobby.
Bobby Helpful.
He's 64.
64. Hey. When I'm 64.
But, I mean, this is the scary thing for me, though, when we talk about this.
Yeah.
And this could be our topic because I did want to talk about it. I'm thinking that, because I know we got other stuff to do, so don't get excited.
Sure, sure.
But as the pre, just to get your brain started thinking about it.
Oh, I got to do the fucking...
The Metal Gods, but...
Oh, it's nothing better than on the Screaming for Vengeance DVD.
Yeah.
He does the Metal God walk.
Oh, the walk is the shit, dude. I know. He's like, because that's how he really walks now.
Oh, he's doing a kind of a more hip-hop version of it now.
He starts fucking popping lock and shit.
The kids got to understand what I'm doing, right?
I've got to clue them in, right? Tell them what's up. No, I'm starting to wonder if, because remember, it was David Bowie, it was Lemmy, who technically went out of 69 right into 70.
Yeah.
But the point is, that's starting to look like maybe the magic age. Around 70 is, I think, when we got to get worried that people are going to start dropping.
How old are the Stones?
Oh, shit, they're way... I think they're even older, right? Because they started just before the Priest.
Oh, yeah.
Because Priest is like, early 70s? And the Stones are like late 60s?
Well, they were mid-60s around the Beatles.
Damn, for real?
They came out right after the Beatles. They were
they were formed in 62.
Yeah.
Criminy, dude. That's like 54 years?
Yeah.
Holy shit. And so if you look at those guys, I mean, fucking, let's see.
Mick Jagger still moved like a motherfucker.
And I think, again, that's more that same deal. You get these guys where the music hits, and it's like an automatic knee-jerk, you know, reflex for these dudes. Mick Jagger himself, that motherfucker, criminy, 72.
Damn.
Yeah, so he's already past the scary age, right? In other words, any minute now, he seems to be in good shape, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe he'll be all right, but...
Keith Richards has already been embalmed, but he's still alive.
He started embalming himself years ago. So
yes.
For all we know, he died 10 years ago. He's still going. No, he's 72 as well.
Oh, wow.
So they're past the 70 mark, so they could be next. I mean, yeah. I'm not trying to, you know, be bad luck or anything.
Dude,
but
if they come to Houston, I'm going.
Oh, really?
Because I found the Stones about a year ago.
I know. You kind of got back into them big time, dude. You kept telling me about that. You got like a bunch of old back albums and started going through them.
Oh, yeah. Going crazy, man.
I know my friend Sean, who was in a bunch of cover bands, a bunch of them. Dude's been playing for decades. And he's a huge Stones fan, especially old Stones. He's all about it. He's like, dude, you don't even know how fucking awesome those guys are.
Because
I don't know any old Stones.
Oh, dude, I'll educate you. I'll educate you.
So they really got the goods, and they're really that good, huh?
They got the goods, Charlie.
They're worth listening to.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
Because I know a lot of like a lot of English bands, especially if you go back far enough, a lot of them are very bluesy, extremely bluesy, more so than obviously, like I know them from their '80s stuff, right? You know, Waiting on a Friend and stuff like that. Which,
great song.
Yeah, good tune, but different than their early stuff, right? Early stuff's markedly different.
Oh, Sympathy for the Devil, you know that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess I do. I mean, it'd take me a while to go, oh, shit, I know what that is. I know Brown Sugar. Brown Sugar's a killer song.
Fuck yeah, it is.
But, of course, I hear Brown Sugar and I think, fucking ZZ Top, dude.
He's doing it.
Oh, shit, dude. Then he starts moonwalking. Like, holy shit.
He needs, like, some big... fucking huge, like, clodhopper metal boots. We're just barely moving across the stage. It'd be fucking awesome.
They like put, like, a whole costume on him.
Yeah.
Like, cardboard box painted silver, like when you were a kid.
Well, I'll tell you what. We were watching Priest here.
Yep.
Classic or something off Redeemer?
Let's do Redeemer.
You want to do something off Redeemer?
Yeah, for sure, dude. I'm hip to that, and so we can get into a little bit of this beer, because I know you're excited.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah. It's been a fucking while. Since we've had a show, dude. So I know we've had a lot of sort of, you know, scheduling mishaps and such. Gladys has had trouble getting our calendars coordinated. She's not used to the whole Google calendar thing. She's trying to get into it.
John was in charge of my calendar. And
that fucking guy. Yeah. God only knows what he's doing for shit.
I don't understand what you guys are coming from.
Last time I was in his office when he said scheduling... I walked in the room. I couldn't even open the door because he's got like the red yarn going all over the room, like it's a crime scene or something. Yeah. That's how he coordinates all of our schedules. I don't know how that works.
He's got the little dartboards.
Yeah, and he's got like our little pictures pinned up to a big board. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
You guys got a problem with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit because your system sucks.
Yeah, dude.
Why are you both here right now?
Because we had a show schedule.
And?
We had a show schedule.
You didn't know you had one until you read the yarn.
This fucking guy.
Read the yarn. Is there writing on there?
That's a small-ass writing on
there. No shit.
Like, he's got the whole fucking thing up there. Agenda, everything.
Did you guys not get your magnifying glasses?
I saw one. I thought it was something out of a fucking Lucky Charms box. I just threw it away.
Dude, I'm sorry to say, dude. I'm at that age now. I got to start wearing the fucking readers, dude.
Every time I'm on the computer.
Yeah, I get the readers. And the thing I've figured out about, this is the thing nobody tells you. When you start wearing the readers, you get to that age, nobody tells you. It's like the more you wear them, it's like the more you need them.
Oh, yeah, you get
it. It starts fucking up your eyesight.
Like eye crack.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck?
Well, I'm trying not to wear them as much. But
yeah,
because
it's like it
time.
Makes it worse. It's like the more you use them, the more I got to fucking wear them to see any. I take them off and everything's
cheaters.
All fuzzy. I'm like, it wasn't that fucking fuzzy before I put them on.
I have prescription cheaters.
Fucking A, dude. No, I just buy the fucking things. I was like, this is stupid. But I put them on. I was like, holy shit, I can see stuff.
Yeah, no shit,
this looks great.
Oh, dude, that's what sucks. Getting old
sucks dick.
I tell you what. Let's, how about we go with
March of the Damned.
So a little beer thing. I mean, I know we've been doing the beer flights lately, but there's so much good beer out these days.
Oh, this one's been in the cellar for many moons.
They say that, you know, I like the idea of cellaring some beers. There are some beers that, like St. Arnold, for instance, they put out their good beers, and they'll put a year on the label, like a lot of breweries do. And I one day we need to try it, like try like a 2012 is when we buy it that year, cellar it. Then get a 2013, cellar it, and then maybe like after 2 or 3 years of saving beers, we try each one all together and see what a 2-year-old beer tastes like and a 3-year-old beer.
We're doing that with the Boulevard Smokestack Series Chocolate Raspberry.
Nice. You've had that cellar for what?
Yeah.
A while now, right?
Not that long, about 6 months.
Oh, that's good. That's something, though. Because then what we can do is when we decide to try it a year or two later, we'll buy a new one. And try the new one, the current year versus the cellared version. See what
it's like. Think of that. You ready?
That could be a beer flight test.
Mr. G.
Hit this. What the fuck are you doing?
Oh, wow.
That was anticlimactic.
It's like a gay dude farting. He's like,
you fucking. Like you're an old man.
That's a big hit.
What are you, gay?
No.
I'm not touching that one. No, seriously.
Go on that one.
Exactly. Seriously, though, I'm kind of looking forward to this. We've had this one a while.
What do you think it's going to be touching? I'm just asking.
Yeah, you keep asking, pal.
Touch the remote and make sure it doesn't go on pause. Look at the light show over there.
They're all about it, dude. This shit looks very colorful.
You know what? I watched this on my laptop.
Yeah.
And it got to a point where the screen almost got a little too... distorted.
Oh, really? From all the funky colors and stuff?
Where it's like, it's Richie's head green.
It starts to get a little crazy.
Yeah. I don't want to bag on it, but.
But you're kind of bagging on it. Yeah, I know. You know, that's the thing. I kind of thought.
You got a bigger fucking pint than me, you bastard.
I kind of thought they were done. I don't know. They're still planning on making albums. They're not going to quit anytime soon.
Yeah, they're talking about doing another record.
That's crazy, man. Meanwhile, I mean, Rush went and said, you know what? Fuck it.
We're done.
Yeah. We don't need to. What do we got to prove? That's what I guess I wonder. It's like, are you guys still doing shit because you feel you got something to prove? It can't be because you still need money. No, after all these decades, you got to be fine.
Especially after R40.
Yeah. I don't mean Rush. Rush, they can do whatever they want. Well, yeah. I'm not going to question Rush. But I mean, like, why is Priest still making albums? Oh, like, do they need to?
They sell out everywhere they go, probably.
So they got to have money.
Yeah. And
like, what are you doing it for?
They're going to pay Richie's salary. He's a young man, right?
I know. He's like, I've got a family to feed. They're all excited, Holmes.
What are we drinking, Holmes?
We're drinking this by the Elevation Beer Company. We've had their stuff before.
Yeah.
This one, these guys are out of Colorado. This is a quadruple that they make. It is the Apis 4. Apis, of course, is stands for bee. I think that's what you like, an apiary is where you keep bees. So it's like the Latin term for bee, I guess. And this one is a beer brewed with honey. I mean, I'll read it right off the label. Quadruple beer brewed with honey. This is the you know, the classic one pint, 9.4 fluid ounces. Trying to look for the, here we go, on the side's got all the deets. This sucker, I like how these guys literally they number each bottle.
That's cool.
Like, we know this is bottle number 3595.
And they actually take your license number whenever you buy a bottle.
No, they don't. But the style is quadruple dark Belgian style ale. The alcohol, the volume here is 8.7.
Hello.
IBU 17, so nice and low. I like the sound of that. I'm looking good with this. They say that you should pair this with smoked meats, game, and creamy cheeses.
Wow.
We have none of those with us right now, but I'm down for trying this. Hold on one second.
Hey, guys.
What? Bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you. I feel blessed. So,
hey, well, what do you need?
Yeah, what you got going on up there?
It says smoked meat, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, what are you getting at?
I was around some dudes that were smoking. I took my cock out. Would that qualify?
Nope.
No.
Yeah, this isn't in the realm of appetizers.
It's in cocktail
finger fuse. Yeah, finger foods. I fucked that up. No, I'm anxious to try this. Let's get into these guys.
Look at it.
Which one's yours? Is mine here?
I'll take the big one if you want small. Man.
No, that's good with me.
You bastard.
Let's see. Let's give it the what a beautiful rosy color. I mean, very red, deep red.
Deep red. Yeah.
Gorgeous, man. I give that a 4.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful. Notice like almost no, it's like a sudsy lacing.
Yeah.
At best,
stick around,
no head whatsoever. That's wild. I don't know if it's a good sign or bad.
Yeah.
I remember when you pulled the cork, though, it wasn't popping really hard.
No.
It's kind of a... So I hope it hasn't lost all of its... I mean, is that a common thing? We had a lot of beers
where
they lost all of
well,
their...
Well, I took it out slow, too. Okay. But there was some pressure.
Oh, okay.
I took it out slow. So
all right,
I'm not going to judge it by that.
All right, fair enough. And then the aroma, let's go in for that. Ooh,
that
fruity, man. Nice, dark, fruity flavors. Raisins, plums, that kind of thing.
That's a quadruple, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's a quad, dude. Oh,
cheers.
Fuck it. Let's go for it. I'll give that, 4 on that one?
Yeah.
Let's go for this.
Oh, fuck. That's delicious.
Wow. That is nice. Mm. Okay. I'm tasting the honey is what that is.
Ooh,
I'm like, where is that sweetness coming from?
Palette.
It's the honey.
Yeah.
I like how the honey gives it, it's a nice background to everything. Because you'd say, is it going to compete with the fruits? Is it going to mess that up or give it a weird aftertaste? It all blends pretty
this
nicely.
Is nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice, yeah.
I got to give the taste a 4.
Mm-hmm. Mouthfeel, kind of watery.
Watery.
But not in a bad way
watery.
Or anything. I mean,
it's not turning me off.
Yeah.
It's a little watery. You with the higher ABV, you don't taste any alcohol at all.
Yeah, that's true. You're not really getting hit with it.
Mm-mm. Taste of raisins, some... Maybe a prune?
Something, yeah. Prunes, plum, something like that.
Plum.
Not so bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah, I dig.
This is nice.
Dude, look at Richie fucking going after it, man.
He's playing it like a motherfucker, dude. I like that nice.
He's got
like
KK shit, man.
And he's got like the Michael Schenker style flying V kind of deal going. I like it. He's good, dude. I think he's really been a nice shot in the arm for the band.
Do you miss KK?
Obviously, yeah. It sucks. Missing KK, but
fucking Ian Hill's just going after it still, man.
He's over there on the side with his Metallion shirt or whatever.
I'm gonna fucking like rock out over here.
I know,
right?
Nobody's gonna tell me what to do with my life.
Well, Scott, he's a young one.
I don't
want
to go to school,
is.
Mum. It's like
you haven't been in school in forever.
Uh-oh, that calls for a little extreme, home. Mama, I don't want to go to school today.
Hit it.
Yeah, I think overall maybe a 4 on that beer.
Fuck yeah.
Our first 4 of the year maybe. Or
a little Hornage.
I'm down with it. That was a really good one. That's nice. Because I think the one we had last time was the one that was kind of like an horchata.
Yeah.
It was kind of a Mexican style of a beer, and that was not bad. But this one's clearly the best one we've had so far from them.
Sriracha stout. We're going
to
drink one from Rogue.
We're going to have the balls to finally break it up.
We don't have the balls to do it.
One day when we have something really spicy.
Yeah, I follow.
To kind of compliment it. So, anyway, like we talked about a little bit, I mean, what do you think of that? Do you think that, I mean, I was trying to be conservative. There's obviously people that live a lot longer. People live in their 80s, 90s, sure. But by then, they're probably not touring and making albums. And then you got the people that, you know, obviously die a lot sooner. Some people die in their 40s and 30s and 50s. Mm-hmm. Don't mean those. The ones that survive, the old guard.
Yeah.
Old school dudes, like, how old is Klaus Meine? And Rudolph and those guys. Yeah, it's like, I mean, if they're in that age, it's like, I'm not saying that they're all in bad health, obviously.
McCartney's 70-something.
Yeah, and so there's some guys, obviously, that live, you know, longer than usual. And that's fantastic, obviously. I mean, Scorpions, well, they've been around, what, since...
50 years, they say.
65. Yeah. Yeah. Shit, that's over 50 years. And, you know, let's see, Klaus Meine is... this mofo's from 48, so he's in his 60s. I mean, my parents were born in 49, so he's old enough to be, you know.
He could be your dad.
I know, he might be my dad. You bastard. Where did you go? No, Rudolf Schenker, he was...
your Genghis Mine.
Genghis Mine. Rudolf Schenker, 67. So, yeah, I mean, so Klaus Meine, Rudolf Schenker, they're both about the same age, and, I mean, if you think about that, dude, that's not too far off.
But the thing that's fucked up for me is I look at my folks. They're 73. Mm-hmm. And I look at some of these rockers that are like 72,
yeah,
70, 68, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Rob Halford. He does not look 64 or whatever the fuck he is.
Yeah.
Does he?
Well, I mean, he dyes his hair pretty dark, but you know what I mean.
No, he's got the fucking goatee that'd probably be gray.
Yeah.
But I mean, Glenn looks older.
Yeah. There's
but
certainly
he doesn't
some.
Look like he's 70 or almost 70 years old, doesn't
right.
he?
Right. Some of them keep in pretty good shape. It's true.
It's amazing. The drug abuse. I don't know if the priests really abused drugs that much back in the day.
Right. I mean, the classic example, of course, is Motley Crue, but they're not that old yet.
Well, the
they will be someday, of
Keith
course.
Richards. He looks like death. He has so for like 20 years.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's looked that way forever.
Yeah.
So you just kind of take for granted. It's like, for all I know, he died 5 years ago and he's still just kicking around. I mean, that's just the look. And that's, you know, that varies. That part, that's why I say that part varies. I mean, some people are going to live longer, some people are going to die
shorter. I taste cherries now.
Oh, nice.
Fuck yeah.
But my point is, I sort of fixed that as, I mean, Merle Haggard just died, right? And what, he was 69? Or he died on his 69th birthday.
He
so
looked like a prune Holmes. He was, like, all shriveled up.
Yeah, that's the thing. So, I mean, that's about the age I think that people are going to kind of kick it, especially these rockers that live a fast lifestyle when they were young and stuff. So, you know, I guess what I'm getting at is, who do you think is going to be the next big, you know, death, dude? I mean, Ozzy, how old is he? You think he might be up for it?
I mean, Iommi's up there.
Yeah, and he's been dealing with leukemia, cancer. Right? Yeah. And Ozzy, he's 67, so he's got a few years on him, I guess. But you never know. I mean, obviously, it would probably, unless they got really sick, like cancer or something, it'd probably come as a shock anyway. You know.
If you think about it, when Gary Moore passed, no one knew he was sick.
Yeah.
Just came out of the blues, like, fuck, Gary Moore's dead.
And David Bowie, I think he kept it secret. He knew about it for years and wanted it kept secret.
I don't know if Gary knew that he was that sick. Yeah. Did he die of a heart attack or something?
It might have been. I don't remember. Because, I mean, sometimes these, you don't hear about the circumstances necessarily. I mean, I'm not going to, when I hear somebody dies like that, I'm like, you know, old girl wants to, like, I got to know all the details. She'll get online and start reading her Wikipedia, just learn all this shit. And I'm like, what's it going to change to know how they died? They're dead, man. So I don't really get into looking it all up. If they don't mention it in the headline, then I don't really look any further. Right. I just go, fuck, that dude's gone now.
It sucks.
So, I mean, all the Ramones died, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
There's like a faux one.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was like the last Ramone. And I came in 1995.
I know. It's like, your name's Ramon Estevez. You're just from Puerto Rico.
Is that really?
I know. It's like, that doesn't count, does it?
His name's Damone.
Damone.
Johnny Damone. I'm a Ramon, right?
It's like, it counts, no, doesn't it?
Like, you're a Damone.
Hey, you're fucking
And why are you English? You're from New York. Oh, I forgot. I was
like,
New York.
Fuck off. I don't need to be bossed around by you. So, homeboy died at 55, Johnny Ramon.
What about Joey?
Joey?
Fucking Joey.
Fucking Joey.
Hey, we should
Joey.
Listen to Pet Sematary.
He died in 2001.
You want to hear that?
At the age 49. Yeah, let's hit that.
Pet Sematary by the Ramones?
Sure.
It's pretty cool. Let's do it. Under the arc of a weather steamboat, into goblins and wallow alone. Come at the grand light, making a sound. The smell of death is all around. And at night when the cool wind blows, no one cares, nobody knows. I don't wanna be buried in a pet cemetery. To the sacred place. This ain't a dream, I can't escape. Molding some fangs, but picking up bones. Spirits moaning among the tombstones. And at night when the moon is bright, someone cries, something ain't right. I don't wanna be buried in a pet cemetery. Yeah, so those guys, that's weird. They all kind of died early. Yeah, a lot of them did. I think they're major alcoholics.
Oh, so it's
raging alcoholics.
That's wild, man. But so they're kind of an early version of that. Most of them don't die about that age. My guess, what I'm getting at is, like, you know, those we're getting to the age where the earliest of people, because Black Sabbath, pretty early.
Yeah.
Dio, of course, had cancer, but these guys those are the first guys that are going to start dying off, you know, as opposed to like Motley Crue. They're not going to die for another 20, 30 years. So.
Unless Vince Neil beats the fuck out of somebody. He dies of AIDS in jail.
Oh, shit. But you know what I'm saying? So they're the first sort of, it's, I mean, it's like just a moving thing, like off the cliff, right? So it's just, they're the first that are going to go out.
Right.
So, I mean, we already lost Lemmy. We lost Bowie. I mean,
Don Felder?
Who do you think is going to be
Glenn
next?
No, Glenn Frey. It was Glenn Frey.
That's right. And who do you think is going to be next? I mean, who's up there?
You know what? I mean, if you look at Bowie, he's not metal, but he inspired a lot of metal guys.
Big guy in rock music, certainly.
The Eagles really didn't inspire metal. No. Rock band type thing.
Good rock, yeah. But yeah, more like, you know, almost party rock, I guess, or something. L.A. rock, kind of California rock.
Think of the big boys. So say Priest.
Yeah, we got Priest. We've got
Sabbath, Maiden.
Sabbath, AC/DC.
AC/DC. I mean, you could maybe see a Malcolm Young passing away.
Yeah.
But is that really county? He's kind of out now.
But Scorpions, I mean, they're getting
Scorpions,
up there.
Scorpions, yeah, they're up there, but they're still, they seem healthy. They still look good.
That's the thing. I just looked
Saxon,
it up.
They look
on Wikipedia,
great.
I mean, they had a picture of Rudolph Schenker. He fucking looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, this motherfucker looks like he just came from Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe.
Fucking...
No.
Okay, murder, fucking, kill.
What?
What?
Murder, fuck, and kill.
With
dude, it's murder, marry, and kill, I think.
Right? That's what, wait, no.
No, marry,
fuck,
oh,
kill.
Fuck, marry, fuck, kill.
I think
right?
That's what it is, yeah.
Who cares?
Just tell me who you want to fuck. This guy. He's already got his pants down, I guarantee it. He's like, just get this thing going.
Hey, John, why is it all dudes?
I'm just saying, you guys pretty much want to fuck these guys, right?
No.
No, we like them the way they play music and sing.
Yeah. It's just, we're talking, it's what we do, man.
Okay,
we're doing
I'll get you some chicks.
Thank you.
Now,
okay, Ellen DeGeneres, Rosie O'Donnell,
this fucking guy.
And Oprah, murder fucking kill.
You need to calm yourself.
Oh, God. Dude, why do we even put up with this?
I don't know. But I
contract.
Obviously, you'd kill Rosie O'Donnell.
Okay. You need to fuck Oprah.
Yeah, Mary Ellen, fuck Oprah.
Ellen?
Well, because she's got all that money,
like
dude.
Buddy.
Yeah.
It's a dude. It's like just two dudes hanging out.
And Oprah would just be like, I got to give me some of that brown sugar, dude.
I need a dick. You're Mary Ellen. Booyah!
Goofy motherfucker. Are we done with this ridiculous half-assed so-called experiment?
Oprah and Rosie O'Donnell.
This fucker. Or Paula Poundstone or somebody.
I honestly haven't given it much thought.
But Oprah, you think?
Yeah, right.
No, I've given that thought. That doesn't count.
The old guard, man. The larger band, if you think of larger bands, I mean, you almost have to point to Sabbath just because Iommi, we know he's got a problem.
Right. And they've just been around so bloody long. But you're right. A lot of them seem like they're in good shape. But you know what? I mean, no, Lemmy didn't seem in good shape. But I'm sure there was one of those people that recently died. I mean, like Bowie. As far as I know, he was in good shape.
But he was out of the spotlight. He did that one record a couple of years ago. Uh-huh. And then he came out with the new one right before he did. It came out like right before he died, like 2 days before
he died.
And
that might have been one of the reasons he wanted to go and record it and get it out there.
Have you heard any of that record?
No.
We won't play it on the show. It wasn't bad. It was a little different.
Oh, so you have heard of some of it, huh?
I bought it.
What does it sound like?
Kind of more electronica.
I was worried about that. I figured it might be.
I was hoping it was.
I mean, I know you're a big Tin Machine fan.
Oh, I love Tin Machine. Fucking sales guy. The guitar guy. What was it? What's his name? Wasn't Soup. It's Soupy Sales Kids.
What?
Yeah.
Soupy Sales?
Yeah, it's kids.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Gladys.
It's your kids, Marty.
Gladys, I need some help here. I got her in the earpiece here. Gladys, Tin Machine. What?
What?
T-I-N. She's having problems with her hearing aid tonight. Machine. M-A. It's not my kind. No, ma'am.
She's having problems while we're trying to listen to Turbo Lover, dude? That's fucked up.
She's like clued in. She's like, I love this fucking song.
I know, that's why Gladys isn't listening. She's just too busy jamming.
She's like all fucked up, man. Gladys, fuck, I'll look it up myself.
She's a lot. She's been.
No, it's the sales kids.
You're fucking kidding me. You're full of shit.
Would I bullshit a bullshit? Here, look at me. I know what I'm doing.
All right. Soupy Sales.
So here's the band lineup. David Reginald Bowie. Oh, and they're not going to tell me anything else. Fuck, I thought it was going to be cool for a second. Well, okay, Reeves Gabrels.
Oh, yeah, Tin Machine.
Tony Sales.
Yep, Tony Hunt Fox Sales.
Look at me. I knew what the fuck I was talking about.
But that motherfucker's 64?
Fucking Reeves Gabrels.
Wait a minute. Oh, Soupy Sales. I'm thinking of David Bowie. Like, no way. David Bowie's son is 64.
No, I saw Tin Machine twice.
Nice.
I didn't fuck around.
You did, dude.
Nice. I didn't fuck around now. I didn't fuck around back then.
I know. Right now. Now I'm not fucking around. 2 seconds ago, I was totally fucking around.
Yes.
But now, not Thanks now. No, this moment now, I'm not fucking around.
Right. You want to play some Tin Machine?
Yeah, sure. Throw it out there.
Should we go with the first record or the second record?
What do you think is better? I think that the first one is generally considered the better one, right?
You know, I like them both. It's been so long. How about off the first record, we'll do Under the God.
Nice.
Under the God. Under the God.
So anyway, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm full of shit, but I just worry that, you know, we're at the age where they're just going to start dropping, dude.
Thank you.
This guy.
What?
He just finally admitted it.
Uh-huh.
Admitted what?
He's fucking full of shit.
Whatever, dude.
Anything else, dude?
No, I'm good.
Good. No, though, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, John's fixated, too. He loves this song.
So anyway...
This is John's favorite fucking Priest song. Can you believe that?
Yeah. I totally believe that and Hot Rockin', I would assume.
Oh, he loves that video.
He just says the video. I was going to say.
He loves that video.
Let's see him splash that water. This fucking guy. While he splashes his own water.
I mean, it sounds good here. Towards the end of the show, though, Rob's having a few.
Well, Rob's wearing his fucking aluminum foil bathrobe or whatever that is.
He's wearing those weird fucking jackets now.
Yeah.
I don't know why. This used to be Glenn's solo, right?
I think you're right. But Richie's rocking it. I think he kind of makes it sound
I'm
cool.
I'm too tired to do the solo, right? I'll take this spot. It's a little bit easier.
He's just tired. He's and like, I got to sit down.
Let's focus on Richie while Glenn plays his solo.
Because he's got that fucked up guitar. Well, he's not using it now, but that weird fucking shaped guitar he uses, yeah. I hate that fucking thing. It's so fucking weird. I don't know why he likes it. Yeah, Rob literally looks like he's just like a crazy old man in a fucking, like a weird costume.
He's like, you don't dye your beard, do you?
He's like, no, it naturally grows black. The blackest black.
To give Rob his credit here, he does sound great at the... I would say 3/4 of the show, but towards the end he starts struggling with some of the higher stuff like Painkiller and some of the stuff in Beyond the Realms of Death.
Painkiller, you got to really get at.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was watching the video. That's a tough one. Like, oh, God, I hate to see this, you know? And well, then we saw him a few years ago. And believe me, guys, I'm not piling on priests.
Right. And we've already covered the topic, of course, many times about how there's a point at which, you know, bands just need to say, you know what, we're done. We don't need to keep embarrassing ourselves.
I don't think priests is at that point.
But you don't think so?
A few years ago, we saw him, and Rob had so much delay on his voice. You're like, dude, what's up? I mean, he was hitting the notes, but he had a lot of delay on his voice.
I think that's, yeah, that's the sign when it's like, okay, I need a crutch. But, you know, whatever. I mean, he's a legend. I'm willing to acknowledge that.
Well, they say that Ozzy has backup singers. You know?
Like the Pips?
Pretty much.
These people like...
Doo-wops. Yeah, they're back there backing him up. Sure. Doing the little dancing.
So, anyway, I mean, that's as much as a topic as I wanted to talk about. And like I said, I don't know if that's a legitimate topic or not, but it seemed like it. I mean, I started worrying about that stuff.
Okay, talking about singers in bands, there's a huge story out, and I think, you know, everybody knows music. The whole thing with AC/DC. We were lucky enough to see Brian Johnson on one of the last few dates that he played with AC/DC. You know, Genghis, what are your thoughts on what they're talking about doing? Are you familiar what they're talking about doing since Brian has officially been let go, or what? I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Well, my understanding, of course, is that he's not been let go, but that under doctor's orders, he's got to kind of duck out, right?
There's speculation that that's fabricated.
It's just a front? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Then why? What would be the point?
Thought he sounded good.
Yeah, I thought he sounded fine to me. Well, why else would he be out? Like, they don't want to get rid of Brian after all these years.
I know Brian had said in the media that he was about done, and whenever he couldn't sing anymore, he wanted to bow out gracefully. I don't know if it was that or this hearing thing's maybe part of it. And it's like Angus says, the speculation is Angus says, I want to go forward with this, and apparently you can't do it anymore, so I'm going to find someone else to do it.
Huh. Wow.
What are your thoughts about, have you heard who's supposed to take over for Brian?
I shudder to ask.
John, you got this one?
You damn straight I do.
Okay, give him a hint.
You can do anything you want in the South Park game.
Do you really believe
that was not a lyric?
Do you really believe that Axl could ever?
I can't. I mean, last time I saw him, he fucking sucked. He was horrible.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
But you know, talking about Guns, we'll get into Guns N' Roses on another show. But apparently, on this new reformation, reuniting thing, he sounds good. I don't know.
See, I haven't heard.
I'll be the judge of that.
No shit.
When Wifey and I saw him about 3 years ago in San Antonio, the band sounded good. He sounded fucking horrible.
Wow. I mean, I can't say I'm surprised. I mean, I think that he's gotten to his thing. Just, we don't have to get into this, but just real quick, I think his thing is he got at one point, I don't know when this was, but so big that it's sort of like, I don't even have to, like, he's Ozzy status. Like, I can just walk out on stage and people will pay for that. No matter what I do, they'll just think it's great. And it's like, no, you're not legendary level, dude. You were in a band that was popular for about 10 years, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s. That's it. You know, you didn't put out shit tons of great albums like fucking Black Sabbath did or the Stones. Yeah, you haven't earned that level. Yeah, exactly. But he acts as though he's achieved that level. Like, if he goes out there and just says, I don't like the way that one guy looked at me, I'm done, I'm walking out. It's like, motherfucker, who the fuck do you think you are?
Right.
Yeah, you got a job like the rest of us assholes. You need to sing whether you fucking feel like it or not.
Right.
You know,
somebody
like Ozzy can walk out and go, you know what, this, I'm not feeling it. Later, motherfuckers, and no one will be happy, but it's like, it's fucking Ozzy.
Yeah,
he's the fucking king. So it's like he can do whatever the fuck.
Right. He's
the 800-pound gorilla of the fucking metal world. You fucking ain't, Axel, and you ain't been that way for fucking decades.
Hey, guys.
Oh, God. Are you going to interrupt more times tonight, or is this it?
You promised me right time.
I did.
Okay. I'm just gonna say, okay, what big band doesn't have a singer right now?
AC/DC. I got the cue cards. I'm looking at them right now.
Fuck you. Stop saying that shit.
McCheese, what do you want?
Look. I'm just gonna say this real quick. I got shit going on here. It's all in the contract. Whenever this asshole, my client has something to say of a business nature related to his extracurricular activities, we'll call it, he's allowed to come on the show and do a little promotion. You know it. I know it. So just let him get it done and we can all get the fuck out of here.
Okay, John, can you please get over
Jesus.
With it?
Yeah, just whatever it takes, pal, to get you the fuck out of here.
I can't say anything right now.
Wow, that's weird. I've never heard that before.
I'm working on something real big, and you guys are going to be licking my ballsack.
See that happen.
Yeah, it would literally have to be the end of the fucking world, and licking said ballsack would fucking fix everything. Then I'd consider it.
So what's your big announcement?
Like I said, clear out your fucking ears, asshole.
Okay.
Okay, I'm gonna give me a couple of bars.
What?
A couple of bars.
Okay. Wish I'd been through a couple of bars.
Oh, shit.
I want a highway to hell! Boom, boom. Highway to hell! Boom, boom.
All right, we get it, This is my personal highway to hell. God almighty. All right. Jesus Christ. Please tell me you just passed the kidney stone. Shut the fuck up.
What's that, the guitar? What do you want, Colin?
You're not allowed to call me that, pal, so watch what you say there. Look, you have to let him do his full 30 seconds, otherwise we don't meet contractual obligations, all right?
Fine, whatever, as long as the motherfucker's done. But I'm pretty sure we just reached it, so he can get the fuck out.
Let's just move to another topic.
Yeah, or, I mean, otherwise, I'm going to have to just try to swallow my own tongue.
Oh, wow, look at them. They're moving out of the room. Look at McCheese looks pissed. Maybe John did a little too much.
I don't know.
You know what he's hinting at?
What?
He's going to be the next singer of AC/DC.
Oh, yeah, I pieced that together. His latest delusion.
Hey, I'm not telling you anything. And I'm not supposed to speak a word of this to anyone, but I'm going to give you four words. AC/DC.
This motherfucker.
I said, those are fucking letters. He goes, what's the point?
Make of it what you want.
No,
this kind of guy.
What's the point of four? Oh, I don't even want to get into it.
I know. I'm surprised the motherfucker can stretch four words together, much less four.
And you just can't get out of the ball.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's like a fucking house of mirrors. Only instead of a mirror, it's a fucking John's face running his fucking mouth.
So apparently those two, they're up to something.
It's like we're trapped under ice, Holmes.
Exactly. You know what that was weird, though?
What was it?
I did get an email from Phil Rudd out of jail. He had emailed out of jail and said, hey, I know what you guys are up to.
Uh-huh.
And you better cease and desist. And I was like, how do you know us, Phil?
Yeah, what the fuck? How does anybody know us?
He's like, or I'll throw your shrimp over the Barbie. I didn't know he was Australian.
Shit, I thought he was that guy in Ant-Man. That's not the same guy? It's a different guy?
Oh, okay. Nice shrimp shot. I had to think about it for a second, Holmes.
Dude, I try to
it's
help.
The Apis, Holmes.
I'm trying. No shit. This is not bad.
It's fucking awesome. It's fucking beer.
Definitely strong beer. I mean, and I don't necessarily mean from an alcoholic content, like you taste the alcohol.
Yeah,
I mean,
you don't.
But it's like you can tell there's like the flavor is so deep and it's such a strong flavor profile that you're just like, this is a mean beer, dude. I mean, don't do this when you're just trying to have a nice summer, like relaxation thing.
Sure. That's a good sipping beer.
Right, good cigar beer, I'm sure. Yeah, and probably good, you know, wintertime beer.
Dude, this would be the shit with a cigar.
For real, dude. Nice, delicious cigar. And but like I said, you know, Sunday or summer, rather, after you mow the lawn, you don't want to whip this motherfucker out.
Yeah, that might give you a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, that's not going to be the one. but very definitely good sipping beer.
Hold on. What's that I hear?
Dude, what else could it be, Holmes?
Classic over there, Paisan.
Yeah. Since we mentioned the Scorpions, you know, they're always a good band, especially the you know, the early stuff.
Love the Scorpions.
How about something right out of 1980, bro? Animal Magnetism?
Fuck yeah,
bro. Let's kick that title track.
Let's do it.
You got over there, Paisan?
I pulled something out. Actually, a lot of my classics end up coming off the iPod in like a shuffle type play type thing.
I think that's one of the best ways. When you get a nice full library of tunes in about the same genre, obviously, and you put them all on your iPod or whatever, and then just hit that shuffle. It's a really nice playlist it kind of creates for you.
Well, you know, I did that. I cleaned out the iPod the other day, and I like to keep on a lot of music that we're looking at, reviewing, and so forth. And I pulled out a CD the other day. I was like, fuck, I haven't heard that in a long time.
Nice.
I know Paisan's a huge fan.
Yeah.
And I introduced him to this band. I think he may be a bigger fan than I am.
Nice.
Ark.
Oh, yeah.
With Bjorn Land, one of my favorite vocalists.
Fuck, yeah.
The album was Burn the Sun.
Killer fucking album, man.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. And dude, I'm looking at this motherfucker on... if you look at this on Amazon, to buy the new CD right now, fucking $40, Holmes.
Because it's an import or something?
Yeah.
They're not publishing it here or whatever, or releasing it around here?
But I'm kind of partial right now to a song called Feed the Fire.
Love that fucking song, dude.
It's a really cool, like, melodic thing going on.
Yeah.
And then this mid, like, the bridge right before the chorus, fucking awesome. That's where you know Bjorn Land is fucking the man.
Dude. And whoever did the music writing on that, what was that? Who was the guitarist in that?
Probably a guy named Torsten or something like that.
Yeah.
No, I'm not trying to be mean or nothing, but...
No, the guitarist Tor Otsby.
Hey, I was close.
You were actually pretty close. No, but yeah, one of those things where
Norwegian,
it's spelled with an O, but it's got the fucking line through it, like it's a zero, that fucking kind of thing. Yeah, but I just remember that, that fucking way it builds up to the chorus, it's fucking beautiful build-up, awesome, dude. Great melodic music.
Totally.
So, let's hear that.
A little bit of art. We'll be right back.
Will she ever know my name?
Killer shit, homie.
Yeah, I'll just slow down this.
Yep. Well, see, and then, you know, we've all experienced that. You see a band this old.
But why would they slow it down?
Because it's just easier to play, easier to sing, I would think.
But everything else is like up tempo. You think they... Again, we've been fairly critical of this. Not trying to be... It's not a bad video. It's actually pretty cool. But... And I've seen him do it slower on other videos. Or even maybe it was live or whatever. But for some reason, they play Jawbreaker at a slower speed, but they'll play like Scream for Vengeance at normal speed, you know? Maybe they just think, hey, it sounds better if we slow it down a little bit. You think?
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, I it's not uncommon even for bands that aren't old that I've heard in live. They'll sometimes play it at a different tempo, and you wonder why. And I guess maybe they just think it's better for live.
You know what? That's a great question. Next time we talk to an older artist that's been doing it for a while, especially if we know. I mean, if we may talk to Richie Faulkner. Who knows? It could happen.
It could.
But if we do talk to Richie, even though he's the new guy in the band, and he may be playing Jawbreaker at the mid-tempo that it is now, we may ask him, hey, why did y'all slow down Jawbreaker?
Let's do it.
Was
Let's
that
ask
something
him.
They may have just said, hey, this is what we play now.
You're like, I gotta know. Tell me.
He's like, I don't bloody know.
I was like, who the fuck do I know? Like am I the bloody information booth?
I played it, right?
It's like, you're not even English, man. Like, fuck off. I sound English. It's good enough. So you want to jump into the old current stuff? Pick of the week?
You bet, man. Well, you got a pick, or you want me to go first?
No, I'll pick, because I've been excited about this band. I mean, and to be fair, it's actually kind of almost like an extension of a previous band. But, you know, I don't want to be, you know, to be fair is the wrong phrase. I guess I don't want to be unfair, because you don't want to lump things. You know, artists don't like to be pigeonholed. But in this case, you may remember the band Gypsy Hawk. We were big fans of them. That was that band. They're very old school kind of a sound based around the bass vocal work of Eric Harris, and him and his buddy Bryant Throckmorton, who were in that band sort of dissolved for whatever reason, and out of those ashes came a new band called Gygax. And the thing is if you didn't know any better, you'd swear it's like, well, this is the next Gypsy Hawk album,
right?
I mean, it's still the same kind of sound.
We're not Gypsy Hawk, we're Gypsy Hawk Part 2.
Right. Now, their feel that they're going for with this one is, this Brainchild is really more centered on fantasy and look, I mean, Gygax is the name. Gary Gygax is the guy who created Dungeons and Dragons. So this, and even the name of the album is Critical Hits, which is a dice roll that you can get in Dungeons and Dragons sometimes. So it's all about that kind of imagery and wizards and whatnot. Something you see off the side of a fucking custom van, right? Back in the day. And so, but basically the sound is still the same. It's this Thin Lizzy style, nice. 70s fucking guitar heavy rock. And it sounds fucking awesome. This is the kind of music where it's like on a beautiful day like we've had the last couple of weeks,
where you get the
beautiful weather, you want the windows down. You want to roll the windows down and go ride through the mountains jamming this shit.
Rock out with your cock out, Holmes.
In your fucking 70s custom van, Holmes.
I dig it.
Yeah, this is the stuff, and I've really been digging this album, so let's play something off of that. Let's go with Worldbreaker. We'll be right back. great shit or what?
Fuck yeah, dude. I dig those guys.
Those motherfuckers play some great music. I hope they come through like when they did with the Gypsy Hawk. Yeah, and they were fucking amazing.
I was bummed out. I wanted to go.
They're fucking amazing, dude. These guys, a lot of those guys were in modern metal bands. But they're like, I mean, stuff like, and I'm not saying this was the band, but
yeah,
along the lines of like Baroness or something, those kind of normal everyday sort of metal bands that are out now, that kind of little more doom, kind of doom metal. And I guess doom metal is related to this kind of stuff, 70s, hippie-ish kind of thing. So maybe it was a natural, but it's a different sound altogether, right, though, than their day job, so to speak. And I really dig it. I'm like, it's funny to see somebody like a metal band and they're playing this kind of stuff. And then they do like a side project, and then the music's just all different. Like, I could never have seen you guys in that band. Like, what if on the side, you know, fucking Richie Faulkner's in a fucking, I don't know, a bluegrass band or something. You'd be like, what the fuck? It just throws you for a loop. So, but this wasn't too far away to totally blow you away. But, I mean, the music is fantastic. There's no getting around it. And I hope they just keep making albums forever, because this is good stuff. What do you got over there?
I got to tell you something funny. Well, this is a Breaking the Law by Priest.
Uh-huh.
We had a friend back in high school, and we would get in. He had this awesome, like, Burt Reynolds style Trans Am. We'd go out.
Oh, those are the shit.
High school girls, or whatever. Because right. We were in high school.
Cool.
We weren't in our 40s. No, so we're all in high school. We thought, oh, dude, Holmes got the Trans Am, man. All the
that was the shit like car back in the day. Oh, fuck yeah.
It never was. But we would put on Breaking the Law. Because it was a fairly new song back then. And he thought it was, instead of Breaking the Law, he thought it was open the letter.
What? Wouldn't even close to what it is. This guy.
He thought the song was called Open the Letter.
The
instead
fuck?
Of Breaking the Law. What, so he would be singing, open the letter.
That's not even close. Why did he think that was it? Like, are you high or something? That is funny that he thought that.
He drank a lot of Crown Royal. Let's just say that.
Fair enough. But see, you guys may not know this recently. Pontiac, of course, no longer makes the Trans Am. But Trans Am Depot, some company, purchased the license to use the name and the logo. And they built 77 of these Trans Ams called the SE Bandit Edition.
Oh, wow.
And it actually, each of them is signed by Burt Reynolds.
Oh, wow.
Like, I think, like, he signed his name, and then they stitched that signature into the fucking leather in the seat.
Oh, that's kind
of
cool.
Oh, it's pretty, actually, kind of, it's $115,000 for one of these motherfuckers.
I know, thank you.
But, I mean, look at that. That's a fucking sweet-ass car, Holmes.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Isn't that the shit? So, I've got mad respect for the old Camaros and Trans Ams. Anyway, so sweet, dude. Does that mean we've got this all figured out?
No, I got to get my pick of the week.
Oh, you didn't play yet?
Or show, whatever.
I'll come back in. I'll leave and come back in and pretend like it happened. This motherfucker.
Baby Burps Holmes.
Just kick
fucking
it.
Fucking Love a Holmes.
That better be the name of a band.
Damn, he's hot with that hat on.
Okay.
Hot?
I mean, cool looking. I mean, that's a great look.
Hey, okay. So my pick of the week is from a classic band. One of my favorite bands of all time just put out a brand new record. It's called Bang Zoom Crazy. Hello, that's the way they pronounce it.
All
little
right,
Jerry Lewis Holmes, little Dean Montvilla. Well, that was somebody else. Anyway, so Cheap Trick,
nice
brand new record, and I gotta tell you, probably the strongest thing they've fucking done in I don't know how long. At least 20 years. Or close to 20 years.
Nice.
I loved a lot of the stuff they did in the 80s and 90s. But I tell you what, this record, this is going to be one that's going to stand the test of time. Yeah.
Aye.
So I think it's the first single, but I'm in love with it. It's called Heart on the Line. Brand new Cheap Trick. Check it out.
Not too shabby.
Open the letter.
No, it was hell-bent for leather. He thought it was open leather.
Okay, that makes more sense.
I'm sorry.
Because I think, what was it? Was it Beavis and Butthead? He's scraping the jaw. Scraping the jaw. Because they were at the dentist's office.
Yeah, breaking the law. It was hell-bent for leather. He thought it was open the letter.
Open the letter.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, I'm...
He's still an idiot. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, he's still a fucking moron.
Hell-bent for leather is awesome, Holmes.
The Abus Holmes. Abus is making leather. Everything jaded.
Tell me about it. Which is why we get the fuck out of here.
That's what I'm saying. Anyway, guys, we want to thank you for listening. As always, we hope you enjoy the interview coming your way. And we want to give you two big
holes up.
Hey, this is Mark Tremonti from Tremonti, and you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show. Horns up. Appreciate it.
No problem. Well, let's jump in. You got a brand new record, but before we jump into the new record, can you kind of tell us how Dust differs from Carterize?
Well, they're pretty similar records. They were recorded at the same session. We put together 20 songs, and during the mixing phase, I decided to split them up to two evenly paced records. So they're but as a whole, I think the first record was a little gloomier. This one's a little more energetic. But they, they're a snapshot at the same point in time.
Well, I was going to say, it was pretty aggressive to be putting out a record back-to-back like this. So, you know, how long ago did Carterize come out? I know it hadn't been more than a year, really.
Yeah, it's been about a year. So it's a pretty small window.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Have you ever done anything like that before where you recorded so much material and decided to break it up? Or I know a lot of guys, when they're recording, they may do 20 tracks and then pick the best, you know, 14, 15, and then shelve the others. It sounds like you had kind of a idea in mind that you wanted to break this up, or did you ever consider doing a double record?
Well, we put together the songs. I just wanted to get as many under our belts as possible, then decide after the fact what we're going to do with them. But I see a lot of bands put out 15 song records, and to me it's just too much. It's hard for people to digest them, and you know, six of the tracks just get forgotten. So I wanted to split them up evenly, give them all a fair shake, and it's just I didn't want anything to be thought of as a B-side if it was held on to later. So I tried to keep the second record just as strong as the first.
Oh, yeah, and I think you definitely did that. From what I've heard, I've only had Dust a little while, but from what I've heard so far, I really dig it. And I think it does, like you said, Carterize kind of had more of maybe a gloomier feel, and this one's, there's a lot of really nice melodies. I'm really digging the track, The Cage, and the little riff you start off with that. Can you tell me kind of how that song came together?
That one was one of the last ones to get put together. I was... You know, we were just trying to dynamically make everything
Cover All Our Bases, and I pulled that riff out, and the guys were like, where you been hiding this one? And, you know, we kind of ran with it. And my favorite part of the song is probably the bridge where it takes the real dark turn. I like it when a song's kind of more lighthearted, and then all of a sudden it takes this 180 to this dark place, and that's what we did in the bridge.
Oh, I dig that kind of stuff too, man. That's the kind of stuff that makes the hair on your arms like raise up when you're listening to a great track, you know?
Yeah, man.
But that's something I've always kind of wanted to ask you, because you were with Creed, of course, and then you have Alter Bridge as well. I know when your first solo record came out, I would listen to certain tracks and say, you know, okay, Miles would have been able to sing that, or, you know, another track, well, maybe Scott's voice would have been suited more. And I got to take my hat off to you. You're a very good vocalist. You really can stand up there with some good vocalists. Do you kind of keep that in mind when you're writing? I don't know if I really heard it so much on Carter Rise and Dust, but maybe the first record, to me, as a fan and a listener, I kind of heard, well, is Mark, you know, was he catering this, or was this a leftover idea for maybe a Creed thing, or was this a leftover idea for like an Alter Bridge thing? Now I hear some of the stuff, you're vocally, you're up there kind of where Miles is, so I'm asking like a 20-part question, sorry. But I guess the main question is, do you write with guys' voices in mind, and then how did you take that over to Tremonti to where you said, okay, I'm singing this?
Well, a lot of the stuff that initially ended up on the first solo album was stuff that I had thrown past the guys many times. It was some of my favorite ideas that just weren't in their wheelhouse. A lot of it was kind of the speed metal influence stuff, you know, the horse galloping right hand kind of riffs, and the you know, just all the old school speed metal that I grew up with that they just kind of always would just not like, you know. And so this was the perfect opportunity for me to get those ideas out. But now, between the Alter Bridge and the solo records, I just put whatever best foot forward goes on the record that I'm working on. But again, if it's a more of a metal sounding idea, usually that's gonna be saved for the Tremonti stuff.
Nice. And I've noticed because the last Alter Bridge record had a heavier edge. Seems like Alter Bridge seems to get heavier as you guys go, too. I don't know if that's just a progression or if that was kind of your idea in mind of how you wanted that band to go as well.
You know, I've always wanted to get heavier and heavier. I think the guys have just grown more accustomed to it. I think when we first got together, you know, Scott and Brian are definitely into classic rock, but they weren't really guys that would like a band like Slayer or Lamb of God or something like that. But I think in this day and age, they're listening to all the new metal coming out, all the Meshuggahs of the world, and appreciating it. And when I throw heavy ideas, now Miles is doing the same thing. Miles is writing heavier and heavier riffs. But at the core of our music is always the melody is the focal point. So that's, as long as you don't lose the melody, we always try to balance that heaviness with the melody.
Well, how does the writing process work in Tremonti specifically? I know you've got Wolfgang Van Halen playing with you, which I'm sure that's got to be just pretty awesome to hear. I'm sure at first you're probably hitting them up for all sorts of classic Van Halen stories. But, you know, do you go in with an idea and then you guys work it out? Or, you know, do some of the other guys in the Tremonti group, do they bring in stuff? Or how does that work as far as the writing process goes?
Well, this is my vision, you know. This is my third professional band now. So this was dedicated to all those ideas that I wanted to get out as a songwriter. So so I'll bring forth all those ideas, and then as a committee, we go through them, and I'll just get a feel for what everybody's leaning towards. So it's hard to write, you know, in a vacuum where you get no outside influence. So it's good to play an idea and see the reaction that people give you. And usually 90% of the time, something you think's good, the other guys agree with. But, you know, there's always that 1 out of 10 ideas that you think's great that you don't get a reaction out of. And I'm glad that I have those guys so I don't run down these ideas that might not shine in the end. So they help me kind of shape the way the record's going to go. by filtering through my ideas, and then we put the arrangements together as well as possible before we get to the studio. But I don't tell the guys what parts to play, or you know, they have free reign to play whatever they want over what I've presented. So it's and they're a very talented group of guys.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And, you know, another thing I want to bring up with the Tremonti thing, and it comes off, you know, as the fan gets it. You know, it's almost like you're, pardon the expression, having an orgasm after getting out of these bands where I guess you felt a little bit restrained. Now you have this Tremonti project to just go full balls out with an aggressive side and show, you know, because I got to tell you, when you came out with Alter Bridge, it was so cool for me to hear you actually play solos, because Creed wasn't really a band that you were going to play a lot of solos in. I said, man, this guy's talented. The Tremonti stuff, man, you're really ripping, dude. Who are some of your influences as far as guitar goes?
Early on, it was all the speed metal guys, you know, the guys from Slayer and Metallica and Testament and, you know, all the early San Francisco speed metal movement. And then I would, in high school and college, I would buy these instructional guitar videos from guys like Vinnie Moore and Paul Gilbert and Ingvae and you know, Eric Johnson, and try and learn as much as I could from those guys. So a lot of it was more of the speedier playing, but I think as I've grown older, I've gotten much more into the more vocal players. You know, I like guys like Robin Ford and Larry Carlton, and Joe Bonamassa now is one of the greatest guys out there currently. Derek Trucks is, I think, one of the greatest guitar players on earth right now, and Jeff Beck, and these guys that you can, they're so emotive in their playing.
Yeah, they got that feeling, kind of like, I always go back to Gary Moore. Gary Moore's one of my favorite guys. In his feeling and play, oh, that dude was awesome too when he was with us.
He was a monster.
Yeah, for sure. Let's dig into Dust. Another song that kind of grabbed my ear early was Rising Storm. Do you have a cool story about how that song came together?
Yeah, I mean, that one just kind of started with that chorus, the chorus melody, and kind of built the song around that. But I wrote that song just about all the religious zealotry around the world and how it's just become such a mess. But yeah, I think that song was one of my favorites off of this record.
Oh, I agree, dude. It's a very, very solid track. And I wanted to bring up My Last Mistake because it starts the record and it's in your face, man. It's a really cool track, man. Very heavy. I was really digging it. And how did that song come together? Is that one that was early on, or is that one that came to you a little bit later on, finishing up this record?
That was one of the first ones. You know, that was, it was probably one of the first two or three songs we put together. It was definitely built upon the main riff. And I think that was the first time we all looked at each other and said, hey, if we need a first single, this could be a first single for us, because in this day and age, everybody comes out with the, you know, the aggressive slash melodic song first, and we thought that could cover that bass, and we were always really excited about it, but who knew that would be held for the second record and wasn't the first single, and was, you know, we saved it for the lead-off track, but we really enjoy it. The fans have heard it so far, and they've all been real positive about it.
It's killer, man. It's killer. Well, I want to ask you about Fret 12. Not only are you, I guess, still fronting Alter Bridge, you have Tremonti now, but you've got your own record label now. Is the label just set up for you guys, or are you signing other artists as well?
No, I mean, Tremonti's the only band that's on the Fret 12 label side of things, but Fret 12 covers a huge variety of things. You know, from, it started out as a guitar instructional source, you know, where I came out with a couple guitar instructional DVDs, and guys like, you know, Jim Root and Troy Stetna, and there's probably 10 of them now out there. It started with that, and then they went out to every show when any kind of guitar player came through town. They've got hundreds and hundreds of interviews and content and lessons and whatnot. And then they started selling signature merchandise through the store, so if you buy one of my guitars through Fret 12, it's always going to come to you signed, or you know, this is kind of a one-stop shop for all the people that are involved in Fret 12. And then it just became a no-brainer to turn it into the label for Tremonti, because, you know, the record business is changing so fast, and some of the record labels are, or most of the record labels these days are turning quickly into the dinosaurs because they're doing things the old ways. And I'm glad to have a group of guys that that see things change and adapt to those changes. And it's a different way of doing things now, and that's what we're doing.
Well, that's pretty interesting, because I guess with Creed, I guess that was the last band. I guess Alter Bridge may have kind of broke into a little bit when you could still probably get a decent deal before all the digital download stuff just took off. But now you got to find different ways to make it happen and be happy with your label, which is probably challenging if you're dealing with any of the larger ones, because it's the music industry like that's really changed so much from the 80s when I was growing up. It was a lot more fair to you guys. Now it's a bit more challenging, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's a completely different world out there, so it's just you have to be smart and think about other ways to make you and your fans happy at the same time, that to make things work so you can afford to be on tour. You know, even being on tour for a new band is next to impossible these days. So it's like I have a lot of respect for any band out there that's out there on the road and making a living doing it.
What's your plans for this summer?
We're headed to Europe at the end of May, and we're doing Download Festival, Hellfest. You know, we're doing the first Paris Download. We're doing all the festivals in Europe, and we would follow it up with a U.S. tour. But with Alter Bridge, new record coming out in fall, we follow this tour up with United States Shed Tour with Alter Bridge and Breaking Benjamin and Disturbed and St. Asonia.
Oh, dude, that's a lineup there. That's going to be an awesome deal. So that's happening this summer?
Yeah, that happens in July.
Oh, man. Well, I hope we're in Texas. I didn't tell you that, so I hope you make it to Texas, man. I'd love to see that.
I'm sure we'll be there. I mean, that's we might do. I'd be surprised if we don't do a few shows in Texas.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, Mark, I want to thank you for coming on the Genghis and Ragman show here on therightforrock.com. But before we let you go, do you have anything you would like to tell the fans out there?
Just keep out, look, and ear out for our tour dates. And thanks for all the support. The record comes out April 29th.
Awesome. Mark, where's the best way for fans to find your information?
You can go on Tremonti.com or, you know, alterbridge.com, either one.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, Mark, great success with this new record, and we hope to see you on the road, man. Thanks for coming on the show. It was great talking to you, buddy.
Great. Thank you so much.
Cut through the fetters, reach the end, only to fight yourself again. Who would believe that now you're done? You carried the weight of everyone. After all the time we spent rewriting the rules, and now we bend. The whole damn thing has turned to dust. You left us alone to feed it all.
Listen to the Genghis and Ragman show.
We hope you check out our website at therighttorock.com, where you can find music and video reviews, along with occasional bits of other metal and beer-related info. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Our show's posted on a regular schedule, but we average a couple a month, so feel free to leave a review and tell your friends so we can spread the word. But above all, please check out the artists we play on the show and support good music wherever you find it by buying from your favorite merchants. And that definitely includes the amazing Tracy G. We love you, brother, who writes all of our original theme music. You can find him online at TracyG.com, so check him out. Well, that's it, and there it is. I'm your announcer, Joey Clams, reminding you to drink good beer, support good music, and keep those horns up.